जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वाला गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वाला गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी जमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज गचर्ज अस्तोत्र सत श्री श्रीमार्जी भैंग्रे श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय इस्कान विभूति फंग गचर्ज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय गौर प्रेमानंदी समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय ऑल ग्लोरी श्री असम्बल भवतीज ऑल ग्लोरी श्री असम्बल भवतीज All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, The Deliverance of the Yamal Arjuna Trees, Text number 15. Daridro Niraham Stambho Mukta Sarva Madairiha Kritram Yadrit Chanapnoti Tadhi Tasya Param Tapa Daridro Niraham Stambho Mukta Sarva Madairiha Kritram Yadrit Chayapnoti Tadhi Tasya Param Tapa Daridro Niraham Stambho Mukta Sarva Madair Iha Kritram Yadrit Chayapnoti Tadhi Tasya Param Tapa Daridra Niraham Stambho Mukta Sarva Madariha Kritram Adrityapnoti Tadhi Tasya Param Tapa Daridra Niraham Stambho Tadhi Tasya Param Tapa Daridra Niraham Stambho Mukta Sarva Madariha Kritram Yadrichayapnoti Tadhi Tasya Param Tapa Daridra Niraham Stambho Mukta Sarva Madariha Samya Vichayapnoti Tadhi Tasya Param Tapa Vaishnavis Daridra Niraham Stambho Mukta Sarva Madariha Vichayapnoti Tadhi Tasya Param Tapa Daridra Niraham Stambho Mukta Sarva Madariha Kritram Yadrichayapnoti Tadhi Tasya Param Tapa Word for word. Daridraha, a poverty-stricken person. Niraham Stambaha, is automatically freed from all false prestige. Muktaha, liberated. Sarva, all. Madai, from false ego. Iha, in this world, Kritram with great difficulty. Yadrichchaya apnoti. What he gains by chance from providence. Tat that. He indeed. Tasya his. Param perfect. Tapaha austerity. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. A poverty-stricken man must automatically undergo austerities and penances because he does not have the wealth to possess anything. Thus his false prestige is vanquished. Always in need of food, shelter and clothing, he must be satisfied with what is obtained by the mercy of Providence. Undergoing such compulsory austerities is good for him because this purifies him and completely frees him from false ego. Purport. A saintly person voluntarily accepts a state of poverty just to become free from material false prestige. Many great kings left their princely standard of living and went to the forest to practice austerity according to Vedic culture just to become purified. But if one who cannot voluntarily accept such austerity is put into a situation of poverty, he automatically must practice austerity. Austerity is good for everyone because it frees one from material conditions. Therefore, if one is very much proud of his material position, putting him into poverty is the best way to rectify his foolishness. Daridriya dosho gunarashi nashi. When a person is poverty-stricken, naturally his false pride in aristocracy, wealth, education and beauty is smashed. Thus corrected, he is in the right position for liberation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gau Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the verse again. A poverty-stricken man must automatically undergo austerities and penances because he does not have the wealth to possess anything. Thus his false prestige is vanquished. Always in need of food, shelter and clothing, he must be satisfied with what is obtained by the mercy of Providence. Undergoing such compulsory austerities is good for him because this purifies him and completely frees him from false ego. So I'll speak a little bit about poverty and austerity today. Srila Prabhupada is giving us full detail and information which we actually need in order to make advancement in our spiritual life. So this poverty he's saying here is actually good for us. Poverty and austerity is good. So a person who is poor, I was thinking actually of there are two different kinds of poor persons. And then afterwards I thought of a third kind. So if someone is not poor, if someone is rich, in other words, when he has a lot of wealth, wealth can blind someone. It's very easy. We have seen a lot of people who are blinded by their wealth and therefore they have no chance of taking up Krishna consciousness. Even sometimes the devotees take a lot of austerity in going to meet wealthy people. Still somehow or other, because of their blindness, they just can't take up the Krishna consciousness, and sometimes they even commit offense. So poverty on one hand is very good because then it helps you, like Srila Prabhupada said here, it helps to destroy that false prestige, that false ego that people have. You don't have so much, so you usually take a humble position. Doesn't always happen, but in a lot of cases when someone is poor, he is humbled by that poverty. So undergoing compulsory austerities is good for him. So we see people all over the world. In every country of the world, there are poor people. Srila Prabhupada was very fond of saying American and European boys and girls. It has a certain effect, especially in India. But it doesn't mean that there are no poor people in America or no poor people in Europe. When I first came to New York and I went into the trains, I've seen a lot of poor people, the bums. And they were everywhere. So in every country, in every part of the world, you will find poor people. But the two types of poor people I was thinking of is regular poor people, those who don't have anything. And they are just on the streets or just begging, you know, always trying to get a ride somewhere. And then the other kind of poor people are those who may be rich, may have a lot of opulence, but they don't have spiritual knowledge. So they are also poor. You may be rich, you may be opulent, but if you don't have spiritual knowledge, you're also considered poor. And then I thought of a third kind of poor people. Does anyone think of that? Sorry?
They have neither material nor spiritual wealth.
They have neither material nor spiritual facility. Anyone else? Well, I was thinking of someone who is poor, who hasn't received spiritual life, and by the mercy of the Lord and the devotees, he has gotten the message of Lord Chaitanya. He has actually received the message of Lord Chaitanya. But having received that message, he has allowed himself to fall back and not take advantage of that wealth of Krishna consciousness. So looking at these three different poor people, those who are poor, they're already poor. They just have to accept it, and we all accept it, and we try to help them as much as possible materially. People in general think that we should just help poor people, you know, make hospitals, make roads, build schools and so forth, and help the poor people, which is good. But that is, that is just regular pious activity. And pious activity is good. However, there are different kinds of pious activities. There is the spiritual pious activity of doing something. You could hold the old lady's hand and take her across the street. Or you could hold the old lady's hand and take her to the temple. So there is a difference between the two. So Srila Prabhupada, when he speaks of pious activity in this way of helping people spiritually. So we take prasadam out and we distribute to the poor people, those who are on the streets or the bums and so forth, Tompkins Square Park. Or even around here, there are poor people, St. Francis House. So in this way, we are helping them. We are building their pious credits. Unknowingly, they are eating food. And they are unknowingly making some advancement in spiritual life. So this is necessary, and this is a big job, because because all over the world, there are poor people. In Africa, we hear of how people are starving. People are starving everywhere, but there is so much talk about people in Africa who are starving, starvation, and so many different poverty-stricken people who are all over. So what do we do as a result of all these people being so poor? And they're not able to eat, and so many of them die out of hunger. So those of us who have this message of Lord Chaitanya, which can bring happiness to people in general, we have the facility to just go out and give people the chance to become wealthy. Become wealthy with Krishna. Become the wealthy with the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are many devotees who, in the scriptures we hear of, who have left all the riches and all the opulence at home, the kingdom, and they go to the forest. Srila Prabhupada mentioned here, many great kings left their princely standard of living and went to the forest to practice austerity according to Vedic culture just to become purified. So they're voluntarily accepting this poverty. And all of us who have joined this Krishna consciousness movement, we have, to a certain degree, we have also done the same thing. We are voluntarily accepting a life of poverty. In fact, Prabhupada described it like that, that one consciously accept a life of poverty, the Krishna consciousness movement. Because there are so many of Prabhupada's disciples, and he would brag about them. In the beginning, those who were coming from the American, very rich, opulent American families, and they have, you know, they have followed me, Srila Prabhupada said, but I have nothing, I am just a poor man. I have not even 40 rupees in my pocket, that's all I have. And all these young Americans, rich, coming from rich background, they are following me. Why? They have voluntarily accepted a life of poverty because they could see that there is a lot of wealth here and the knowledge. Knowledge is actually a very opulent thing. So there is that class of people who are poor and they have nothing. And then there are those who are devoid of spiritual knowledge. And they're also poor. They may be very opulent, they may have a big job, they may have a very aristocratic life, but because they are devoid of spiritual life, they are very poor. And therefore, when Srila Prabhupada speaks, he would speak not just to the poor people, but he would speak to everyone, because he would say, everyone is actually poor. Everybody is poor because they don't have the opulence of Krishna consciousness. They don't have the wealth of the spiritual knowledge, which is the most important thing in life. And then on the other hand, there is a third kind, which I thought would be good to discuss, is those who were poor in the beginning, they have received Krishna consciousness, and then they allow themselves to become weak, and therefore they cannot take advantage of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, of, you know, following their vows or coming to the temple or listening to class or, you know, all these different things that are necessary to maintain one in Krishna consciousness, to make one strong. So it is, it's a very sad thing that someone has received the message and cannot actually take advantage of it. The other thing about poverty is that there is also a kind of a criticism of poverty. There's this verse here, part of this verse, Daridra dosho gunarashi nashi. In one other place, Srila Prabhupada described it as a discrepancy of being poor ruins heaps of good qualities. And when one is poor, he can also lose good qualities in different countries of the world. When people are poor, then they dive into sense gratification or stealing or crime and so forth. So all the good qualities that one is born with, all those go down the drain. In our books, we hear of Sudama Brahman, the friend of Lord Krishna. He was very poor, but at the same time, he was very wealthy because he always considered Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he always considered that his poverty was because of his own sinful activities. And because he was thinking like this, he was very rich with Krishna. And in the end, you see how he got so much. His wife was very enthusiastic to get him to go see Krishna because she would like to get something in the house. There was nothing to eat, just some dried grains of rice. And he took that to Krishna. And then he got so much wealth as a result of that. Kolavecha Sridhar, he was so happy. He would just scream the late names of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, all night long. People would say, what's happening to this old man? In the dead of night, he would be shouting the names of Krishna. All he had was a hut, and he had a broken pot from which he drank water. But he was so happy. So all these things are there. And we should take advantage, you know, of the mercy that we got. It is said that, you know, the four regulative principles that we follow, that is, we follow them, and sometimes when we describe it to people, we explain what it means. So sometimes people would wonder, why you guys follow these rules and regulations? Because each one does a harm to us. If you know something is going to harm you, you would not do it. So the cleanliness is destroyed. We have cleanliness, but it is destroyed by illicit sex. And then the austerity, the ability to take on some suffering for others or for our improvement in spiritual life, that's destroyed by intoxication. So apart from all the other things that intoxication do to us, you know, the addiction to intoxication, the bad habit, it also kills the austerity within us. And the killing of animals and eating meat destroys the mercy. We are, by nature, we are merciful. We have compassion within the heart. But by eating meat, we destroy that. And of course, gambling destroys the truthfulness. So Krishna, this austerity is very important. Krishna is telling Brahma in the second canto, 2.9.24. He says, Srijami tapasai vedam grasami tapasa puna vibharami tapasa vishwam viryam me duscharam tapa. The meaning is, I create this cosmos by this such austerity and penance. I maintain it by the same energy, and I withdraw it all by the same energy. Therefore, the potential power is penance only. And the austerity is described in Bhagavad Gita. Austerity of the body, austerity of the mind, austerity of speech. Of what we should do, there's a little description there of what is necessary for us to do. In 17:14, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, text number 14, Deva Dvija Guru Pragya Pujanam Saucham Arjavam Brahmacharyam Ahimsam Cha Shariram Tapa Uchyate. Austerity of the body consists in worship of the Supreme. Austerity of the body actually includes the Supreme Lord, the teachers or parents, those who are more senior to us. Be respectful to them. Using the body for spiritual things, coming to the temple, engaging in service, cleanliness, keeping it clean, keeping it celibate, non-violent, simple, like that. Austerity of the body. Then austerity of the mind. austerity of the speech first. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others. and also in regularly reciting Vedic literatures. So these are the things one would do if he is interested in doing some austerity of speech. Speak words that are truthful and let it be pleasing to others. And it has to be, and it's beneficial, it's not agitating them. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that those who are intelligent, they don't disturb the minds of the unintelligent. They don't disturb them. So we have to know those who are unintelligent, those who are not, those who can actually accept certain instructions and those who can't. And pleasing, of course, we want to please people by speaking. But at the same time, we want to give them the mercy. And sometimes our speech, even though it's pleasing, some people may not accept it as being pleasing. And therefore, we have to be conscious of that and be able to speak so that people get the best benefit from what we are telling them. We don't want to unnecessarily disturb their minds. So if we think we're speaking pleasing and people are not receiving it as pleasing, then we have to be careful to adjust our speech in such a way that it is pleasing to them so that they can come closer to us so we can give them the mercy of Krishna consciousness. And then austerity of the mind. Mana prasada saumyatvam maunam atma vinigraha. These are verses one after the other. 17:14 for body, 17:15 for speech, and now 17:16 of Bhagavad Gita for mind. And satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport says, to make the mind austere is to detach it from sense gratification. It should be so trained that it can be always thinking of doing good for others. The best training for the mind is gravity in thought. One should not deviate from Krishna consciousness and must always avoid sense gratification. To purify one's nature is to become Krishna conscious. Satisfaction of the mind can be obtained only by taking the mind away from thoughts of sense enjoyment. And other places, Srila Prabhupada said that by thinking of the pastimes of the Lord, there is Mahabharata, there is Srimad Bhagavatam, there is Ramayana, there are so many pastimes of the Lord that we can remember day in and day out. And these would purify the mind. And taking the thoughts away, it's very hard to take the thoughts away from sense gratification. Because we are in this world for so many millions of years and we have a habit of engaging in sense gratification. And that's all, a lot of people, that's all they think about. And so to take the mind away from sense gratification is actually pleasurable for the mind, even though we may not feel it. So in this way, we can train the mind also to think like that. And this is the austerity. Other austerities, Prabhupada said, is following these four regulative principles. There are people who can't do these at all whatsoever. And even though it may appear to be very difficult for new people, it's very difficult to do these. Sometimes we speak to new people and we say, well, by association everything becomes easy. By association with those who are already doing it, it becomes easy for them. So like that, in this way we get trained, we train our body, we train our speech, we train our mind. And to get the maximum benefit, it's not like we're just doing all this hard work and we're getting nothing from it. Your heart becomes cleansed. When the heart becomes cleansed and purified, then we become very happy inside. And this is what is most important, to be internally happy. And we'll always be happy. And then when we meet people, then that happiness also somehow gets spread to them. This is the idea. So these poor people undergoing such compulsory austerities is good for him because this purifies him and completely frees him from false ego. False ego is necessary to be given up. We have an ego, so false ego is necessary to be given up. Because otherwise you become very proud, and pride leads to so many degradations in life. No one wants to go there. All right, I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Dharmaraj Prabhu?
So, you were talking about when approaching the outsiders, you know, some may be disturbed or unfavorable, that, you know, or they may not be faithful. So, whilst on one hand I agree with that, on the other hand, if we analyze ourselves, we can find that a lot of the faults are actually on our end, is that in that we are not qualifying ourselves to present Krishna consciousness or present our standard so that people are able to accept. And I had a lot of practical experience of that. One time, it was back in the 80s, I was doing Sankirtan in Georgetown, and I approached one man with the Bhagavad Gita, and he was very negative. And after a few minutes, a thought came to mind that, you know, this is a faithless person. So then I left him and I walked away, avoiding any more, because he was getting critical. But then just behind me, who I didn't recognize, was like a few steps behind me, was Bhutadi Prabhu. So he came forward, like maybe 2 minutes after, and he approached the same man, and I turned around and saw the man was buying Bhagavad Gita from him and accepting. So that's when I figured out, well, the problem wasn't the man, it was with me, you know, not being able to present Krishna consciousness and present myself in a way. So in other words, my thought is that on a very, you know, great portion is that it's how we qualify ourselves to present Krishna consciousness that makes people deny or accept.
Yeah, that's true. So one thing is that, but that should not prevent us from approaching people, that we are new and that we don't have all the tools to meet people. That should not prevent us from meeting people and go out and, you know, because we see a lot of new people go out to the airport, they don't know anything, but somehow or other, it's not us. In one sense, it's not us or them. It's our desire to serve Krishna. Everything we do, if we have that in mind, that, well, I'm going out on Harinam to serve Krishna. We may have other objectives also. We like to give the holy name to others. We may like to give them prasadam. But everything we do, if we think that, well, I'm going here to worship Krishna, to serve Krishna, and to glorify Krishna, then our activities, our effort would be successful. And of course, when we are more trained in speaking to people, and we do everything right, and we don't disturb their mind, and we're able to please them, then it's obviously that's an asset to our preaching. It'll help very much. Anybody else? Jitari Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. I was just thinking that a while back in our society they had this big war on poverty. But when you look at, I was raised in the Catholic Church, and one of the vows that priests and nuns take is that they take a vow of poverty. So I was thinking that actually the war on poverty is kind of a war on religion, in a sense. You know, because... And then the other thought was that actually a person can have a lot of opulence, but if they're thinking that, oh, this is for Krishna, therefore it's not like they're owning it, so it doesn't... The chance that wealth will pollute them is decreased. You know, it's not like, you know, it's like Srila Prabhupada. You know, somebody would see him and they would think, you know, there's this little man with, you know, a couple, you know, a little trunk, and but, you know, very, very wealthy, you know, very, very wealthy. So, so that poverty, you know, again, if we just try and use what we have in Krishna's service, then not only are we a good example, but we'll also, we won't feel contaminated, and we won't, you know, we'll be using that wealth properly.
Thank you. Madan Mohan Prabhu.
There's a progression that's generally mentioned in the Vedic scriptures, dharma, artha, kama. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. But the dharma, artha, they're usually one follows the other. So could you speak a little bit on reconciling those two features, to how generally there's dharma, artha, and he specifically mentioned the church, and they also have a fundamental thought that if you're religious, you become abundant life, church. And if you're not religious, that's why you're poverty stricken. So there is some thought like that.
You know the answer.
Excuse me?
You know the answer.
I'm waiting to hear.
There is a saying among Hindus, dharmo rakshati rakshita, which means that if you protect dharma, dharma will protect you. And so dharma for us, you know, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, Srila Prabhupada was not so much into it. He was more into chant Hare Krishna, follow these regulative principles. At the end of life, you'll go back home, back to Godhead. And this liberation, this moksha, we are not so much, devotees, Vaishnavas are not so much into just liberation. Chant Hare Krishna, follow these regulative principles, and just preach the message of Lord Chaitanya at the end of this life. You will be happy now, and you will be happy afterwards. Yeah.
I was thinking generally that's in the Karma Kanda section of the Dharma Artha. Right. And so at one spot, it's being used to attract you, because there's four kinds of people that come in search of wealth, in distressed. So afterwards, if they become wise, they stay. So that the sacrifice is meant, it culminates in knowledge, and then the knowledge part, you redefine your goals.
Yeah. Everyone is looking for two things in life. Everybody is looking to be happy and peaceful, and everyone is also looking to be free of suffering. But we are lucky that we know the answer to that. How one can actually become happy and peaceful, and how one can become free of distress. That we know. So we just have to now go and tell others about it. And that will also make us happy. Anything from the Vaishnavi side? Sita? You always have a good question. Okay. All right. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.